You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel, and we've got a really great Dishin' and Swishin' for you this week on Hoopfeed. And we're going to get it started right away with my first guest. And now, I received an email from the Seattle Storm that includes a quote from co-owner Lisa Brummel is saying that they were looking for someone to come in with new ideas and the ability to embrace what it takes to run a sports organization, and they got someone with a true passion for what they do and a strong commitment to drive the business forward. And I'm pleased to welcome that person, the new COO of the Seattle Storm, Alicia Valavanis, joins us now. Welcome to the WNBA.
Thank you. It's exciting to be here.
Well, you know, you're joining a great franchise, and there's no question that the Storm Crazies are some of the best fans in the WNBA, and I know they've got to be excited, and you've got to be excited to work with them.
I am so excited. It is something that I just continue to hear through this process. Can't wait to get up to meet the Storm Crazies. They are such a passionate group, and I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled to get up there and to get into the community.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this whole process and how this came about. As most people know by now, you've been working at Cal Berkeley. You're a Golden Bear, you were a Golden Bear employee, working in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you end up in Seattle?
Well, the ownership group reached out, and it just seemed like a wonderful opportunity. As you mentioned, I've been with Cal almost 3 years now. I've been working specifically in development and fundraising for our 30-sport program. But, you know, I have a background in basketball as a former student-athlete and also as a former coach for many years. So when the Storm reached out and the ownership group reached out, it seemed like a wonderful opportunity to kind of combine that passion and that history with coaching and the game and the business side that I'm now on. So it was a wonderful opportunity.
So back in the day when you were playing, now were you more of a distributor or a scorer or defender? What did you like to do the most?
Great question, David. I actually have an identical twin, and we played together, and she was the one and I was the two. So shot a couple of threes in my time.
Well, so that means that you're going to go down now and you're going to help Brian during practice now and run with the team, right?
Actually, I have a true appreciation for Brian's style. I coach defense. I coach defense and really appreciate his defensive focus. So looking forward to that.
Well, you know, one of the things about the Storm that has been so spectacular is the fact that there's been such great continuity. And it's such a stable, nice, and friendly environment. Earlier on this year, I had Crystal Langhorne on, talked to Crystal as a guest, and she had commented that, you know, it was nice to come to this such a stable environment, and it meant a lot to her. So coming in and succeeding, well, nobody's succeeding, not replacing Karen Bryant, I'm sure that you have a lot of that already in mind.
Absolutely. And that is so very true. I think coming in, you know, really want to focus on building on this strong foundation. Karen Bryant and what she has meant to the Seattle Storm franchise, Seattle community, but even more broadly to the WNBA is just remarkable. I have so much respect for her and look forward to working with her in my time there. But, yeah, I just look forward to building on that strong foundation, that storied history, and honoring the brand and continuing to elevate it. And we'll do that strategically, and we'll do that with a lot of energy and a lot of passion and a lot of excitement.
Your background at Cal, as you mentioned, you know, you did a lot with, you know, with fundraising efforts and, you know, alumni relations for all of the different programs there. Now, the WNBA is currently, you know, at a very crucial time, in my opinion, in its existence, and the fact that, you know, it's been there, it's strong, but it needs to continue to grow, and especially on the financial side. How do you anticipate your background helping the team continue to move, especially in a place, Seattle is such a hot place right now with the success of the football team and, you know, the baseball team trying to improve and, you know, the discussions of trying to get an NBA team back.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think I think there's going to be quite a bit that I hope to bring from my experience on the college landscape. But, you know, in conversations with the ownership group and in what will be the first conversations I have with the front office and the executive team and our partners, I look forward to exploring new creative and innovative approaches as we build out this financial model. And, you know, to your point, I know there are some challenges across the league in coming up with a sustainable model, but that will be a priority. And I look forward to working with the team and working, you know, closely with the executives as we build out those strategies.
Well, I was talking earlier today with someone that you obviously are well acquainted with, and that's Lindsay Gottlieb, who proceeded to tell me that not only were you terrific, but that most importantly, you understood the importance and value of women's basketball and the need for connection with the community to grow the game.
Well, I appreciate her thoughts on that. Lindsay is a good friend. Yeah, you know, I think women's basketball is an affinity sport, and much like at in the college landscape, you really can build on that community engagement and the opportunity to get the players into the community, but also the front office and the connection with partners. And I believe deeply in the mission behind the WNBA and in particular behind this franchise. And that was clear in the conversations with the ownership group that there was a real alignment of core values and mission, and I'm really excited.
Now, you know, coming from the Pac-12, the Storm has had a great relationship with that conference, with the tournament, especially being played out in Seattle as frequently as it has been. You know, but are you ready to jump to the other dog? The other, well, I'm in Connecticut, so it's the other Huskies.
Right. Right. Well, I think I'll certainly – I'm a Pac-12 fan, and so I'm excited to be up there and to cheer on the Huskies as well, and I'll certainly have a space in my heart always for the Golden Bears.
Well, you know, the Pac-12 conference is certainly strengthened, and not only on the court, but it's strengthened in its community outreach, and in particular right now they're doing a great job with this this initiative that Lindsay and Arizona actually started it, but threw out the big YouTube on the dumping of the ice water for charity there. And
I love it. It was a really, I mean, it caught fire yesterday and a couple of days ago, and I thought it was such a new kind of innovative way to generate interest for a great cause particularly, but also just excitement for the game.
Would it be safe to say, though, that we won't be seeing you dumping ice water on Sue Bird's head anytime soon?
Yeah, we'll hold on that for a moment, but you never know, David.
Well, Felicia, I want to thank you very much for taking the time on such a busy day for you to talk to us and our listeners. And, you know, the Storm is clearly getting somebody that understands what's going on out there and what needs to be done. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the continued development of the great initiatives that Karen started.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be joining the team.
Good luck to you. And July 1st, it all starts, right?
Yes, July 1. Let's go.
Take care.
Thanks, David.
Hey, it's Naomi McKay, your favorite nerd on the West Coast, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. David Siegel welcoming you back to Dishin' and Swishin' this week. And since we've already heard about the changes going on in Seattle, it's time to look at some of the off-the-court and on-the-court exploits of two of the best players and two of the best people in the WNBA. And they're both really busy, so you're going to have to ignore whatever outside sounds you hear. But it's great to welcome back to Dishin' and Swishin' NECA Agwumike and sister Janae Agwumike. Ladies, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
Glad to be back.
Guys, what we really want to talk about and what we're doing here is I wanted to discuss the initiative that you guys have undertaken working with UNICEF to help fundraise to help children in Nigeria. Now, everybody knows that, you know, your family is Nigerian, And this is obviously a cause that is, means a lot to both of you. NECA, can you talk about how this whole undertaking working with UNICEF began?
Well, you know, we had actually expressed interest in doing this well before any of the events in Nigeria occurred, and we were just really happy to reach out to UNICEF and for them to partner with us to be able to kind of make what we think our dream to come true. You know, we Nigeria is a huge part of our culture, and for us to be able to contribute to our culture and our heritage in whatever way we can, regardless of any of the circumstances, is what we've always aimed to do and has always been a goal of ours.
Now, Chinee, obviously the current events have brought it to the forefront, but as NECA said, you know, you've spent time, you guys have gone over there all the time, revisited home. I mean, Nigeria is very clearly something that is ingrained in both of you.
Yeah, definitely. I think Nigeria and even more broadly Africa is very near and dear to our family's hearts. And when the issues were going on, the recent issues, I think my family took on the social responsibility of speaking up and saying that, yes, we do care and we are aware. But like NECA said, we've cared about it all of our lives. It's not just because of this recent issue. But I think hopefully this will bring light and even hopefully more support in what we're doing, just trying to help, you know, bring some positivity from the youth to, you know, the burgeoning youth in Nigeria.
Now, the goal of the program is to help 1 million girls in Nigeria get access to schooling. And there's a number of organizations that you're looking to continue and assist. But what I thought was kind of neat about what you're doing here is the way that not only can individuals just contribute, but the way that you've reached out to teams that are involved in basketball. NECA, whose idea was that? I thought that was a great idea.
Well, Chinee, you want to take that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it was like a joint idea. We all put our minds together. We worked really hard with UNICEF, and then we worked hard also with Allison, our agent, and our family as well. We all put our minds together and said, hey, we're really passionate about giving back, and maybe the best way we can do that is to inspire others that have had similar, you know, paths growing up as we have, and that ends up being AAU. And I think that, you know, right now AAU is very, very concentric upon, you know, getting things, you know, getting the access to the cool tournaments or getting gear. And we just wanted to pay it forward and give as a group and see how far that could go. And also, there are like two different aspects to this fundraiser. One is, yeah, if you're interested in giving, you can also, you know, give whether you support the whole Bring Back Our Girls movement or if you are passionate about just giving back to a place that needs it. Yeah, you can give, but there's another cool component to this, and it's the interactivity. We don't want to put too much pressure because, you know, people come from different backgrounds, and, you know, so the interactivity means you can have someone find donors. So it's not necessarily you have to give, but you can find donors, and that's where the team component, you have each other's back. And then you also get to interact with NECA and I. I think that right now, women's basketball, you know, we're growing and we're trying to grow. And it's on us as players as much as it is on everyone else, the media, coaches, and, you know, the young athletes, to work together to help grow our game. And I think we give them an opportunity, which we're really excited about, to get to know NECA and I just by giving back in a charity. That's talking about the prizes and everything. So we try to just make it fun and light and also, you know, have a whole center is around the cause, but it's a pretty neat and unique component that NECA and I worked on, definitely.
You know, one of the things that is so impressive to me about, you know, you guys and also so many other, you know, players in the WNBA is the way that you guys interact, just like you said, interact with the people. You've got a voice, you use it, and you're not afraid of standing up for causes and activism that are important to you. And I think we lost NECA for a minute, but she's back now.
Oh, no, I'm back now.
Okay.
Well, I think
I think that, like, if you look around the league, it's defined by impressive women, and that's for, like, you talk about Tina Charles giving half of her salary away to a cause in need. You look at Elena Deladon and what she's done to outreach in the Chicago community, but also just what's personally motivated her as well. So I think as WNBA professionals, we are very passionate about who we are, and we're also passionate about what we do. And I think that's one thing that has really been a great trend of the WNBA and should continue to get limelight. It's the giving back component. It's very important to us. I think that's because we know what it takes to make it, per se. It's hard work, but it's also selflessness. You have to be a team player, and I think that's what we're showing right now. So it's not just Mecca and I really trying to do anything. It's just a whole bunch of people, a community, trying to, you know, be true to who we are, and I think That's really cool.
Absolutely. Now, Janae, you just went through graduation this past weekend. Congratulations.
Did.
Neko, how cool was it to see your sister go through that same ceremony after you had gone through it?
It was great, definitely. I mean, first of all, it was a blessing at all that we could all be there at one time. You know, Chiney unfortunately missed the game, but, you know, her team, they won, which is fine. And I had a game the day before, so I was able to fly in. And my parents were in town. My younger sisters were in town. And for us to kind of go back, and it was just like, it was a little bit of a celebration and a reunion. And it was just a very positive all-around day. And I was really excited that Chiney was able to go back and experience that, because graduation is, that's one thing that you can never get back. And that's something that both of our organizations have been very mindful, and they understand how important it is for us to go and walk and just see your classmates for the last time, and really kind of transition. It's symbolic of the transition into the professional world, and it's exciting to see what everyone is going to do, and for Trinae to be able to go and reconnect with her Stanford community, and also me as well, because I got to see, you know, some of the youngsters that I used to play with and that I know that are now graduating. And I think it was a very special day for Chiney and for my dad, being that it was Father's Day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say next. I was just said it must have been a wonderful Father's Day present, especially since you said with Chiney now in the East Coast and Neka, you in the West Coast. You know, those days are difficult to come by, no question about that. But, you talking about youngsters, Neka? I mean, come on. You're not exactly going to be using Lynn Dunn's rocking chair that you got last night.
Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious. It took we were laughing up a storm, and she was such a great sport. Not only the rocking chair, but the blanket. I was telling our GM, I was like, hey, I want one too.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, one thing that there's definitely that sense of community around the WNBA, as we were talking about, you know, talking about on the court a little bit. I asked Chiney a question about, you know, the current status about your two teams last night. And she admitted that she was a little bit surprised that, you know, the Sparks have been struggling a little and the Sun have had the success they've had. Neka, you know, what's going on out in L.A. right now? I mean, is the team still feeling a lot of pressure because of the roster makeup? Or, you know, is it just the fact that it's the early season and you guys are just still adjusting?
Well, I mean, I think that we're still encouraged, first of all. There's no bad blood anywhere at all, in the locker room, out of the locker room. And it's just kind of trying to find our chemistry. And, I mean, you're probably, like, the 1,000th person to ask me this. And it may not make sense when I say it, but we're still trying to find ourselves. And I think when we do find ourselves, it's really going to be a beautiful thing.
No, it absolutely makes sense, especially with Christy being overseas and missing some games. There's been some injuries. And, you know, there's no question that, you know, when you start a season, a team always has to adapt, especially after playing overseas and playing with a completely different set of characters. So, you know, that's got to be considered as a major component of everything that's going on, too.
Yeah, you have pieces coming in and out. You know, Wiggs, she was out for a little bit, but she'll be back soon. And Christy will be back soon, too. So we're just trying to find ourselves, you know, with those missing pieces. I wouldn't say that that's the specific reason, but we definitely want to be able to make things work, even when we don't have everything that we need.
Well, I'll tell you, I certainly wouldn't count the Sparks out of the playoff picture until the season is over. That's for sure, because there's certainly a lot of talent there in the entire West, and the West is loaded. And now, Janae, looking east, you know, the Sun's second place right now. What do you think?
I hate to use the word like shocked or surprised, but I came into the season, you know, with my guard down. I just wanted to play hard and, you know, hopefully build something really special. And I think that we're just really fortunate that our hard work and our attentiveness during plays and possessions have really amounted into, you know, a little bit of later early success. I don't know how to describe it. It was tough. Starting off the year, I think maybe like 1-4 and then 2-6. And I think that one thing we really hung our hat on was practicing as hard as we could. And I just love our locker room. I really do. I think there's not one selfish bone in our locker room. And I think it's really helped us develop into the team we are becoming right now. Obviously, there's no guarantees or anything, but I'm just really proud of how hard our effort has been recently. And it's really special, especially on behalf of like Alyssa and I, to have such great veteran leadership from like Katie Douglas and even Kelsey Griffin, and playing with Kayla, my Stanford buddy. So it's a big, big learning journey. And we're just, I think at the end of the day, we don't care about wins and losses. We just want to play and feel well. And I think that's helping us right now.
Now, Necco, with Chennai on the East Coast, so about how many minutes per day do you guys Skype to each other to keep that lifeline together?
At least an hour a day.
At least. And that doesn't count phone conversation or text or WhatsApp.
It's gotta be tough being apart like that, but having somebody that's going through a similar experience that you are, that's something that's a special bond that most people don't get to have. So that's gotta be a lot of fun too.
Oh yeah, it is a lot of fun, and it's been an advantage for both of us, but I would probably say more so for my younger sisters, because I kind of go through everything first. So the
go
around is a lot smoother. It's a lot smoother. So I try to help them as much as I can and get them to understand, hey, this is what I did, this is what I didn't do. That's a good idea, that's a bad idea. Make sure you stay on top of this. And to be able to share with someone, you know, those types of experiences, and as Shanae shares those experiences and understands where I'm coming from, she can then also give in her own advice and input based on what I'm doing as well, because we learn from each other. It's not just big sis tells little sis everything. You know, we're very collaborative and we teach each other a lot. I just think it's really funny though, because like the things I was complaining about 2 years ago, no one really cared about. But now that Janae's complaining about it, everyone's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
That's a lie.
You guys were acting like this wasn't a problem 2 years ago.
You are lying. Come on, man. There's some truth to that. I got a lot of Neck. You know, Neck is the guinea pig, obviously, so she experiences things a lot. So I learned a lot from her calling me out of panic or calling me like, oh my gosh, this is happening, like maybe the first time she's guarding, you know, a big player and stuff like that. So, which happens like every other night in the beginning. So I learned a lot from her experiences, and by learning from her experience, she's given me so much confidence. And she's never wavered. Like in college, you know, as my season was ending, I would always say, Necco, this happened so fast. Necco, I hope I can like play and succeed on the next level. She's always had, you know, unwavering support saying, Shanae, you'll be fine. Shanae, calm down. You'll be fine. So I guess maybe it's more so true that it helps me more than it helps her, but at the same time, I think it's pretty cool that I can call her at any time and say, hey, Necco, I watch this out. Like, tell me how to guard this person. Necco, hey, I don't get, like, what I'm doing on this play. Can you check it out? Like, stuff like that is just the most valuable thing I have right now, especially in, like, our career. And it's funny to call, like, basketball my career now. It's like an adjustment.
You know, Necco, I always knew that Chennai was Tara's favorite, but I didn't realize your parents, too.
Oh, no, Necco, we all know who Chris Parr's favorite is.
Wait, whose favorite is?
I said
Coach Tara.
Oh, yeah, Tara's team Necco, Amy is team Chennai.
Yep.
Yeah, so so nobody was preferred, huh?
I guess we... It's a long story. I love Coach Tara, and I know Coach Tara loves me, but there's some people that have been able to, you know, have that throne, and I think Necco had a good share of the throne. I was Chinee's sales rep. Let's just put it that way. You know, it's like when they come to the door and you're not really sure about whether or not you want to buy it. And so I was their sales rep. And then Ty, she bought into the process.
She definitely did. Took a while, though. Took a while.
Hey, but it happened.
Well, you know.
Yep, better late than never.
I'm still mad at Chinee because she promised me that she was going to have Tara wear the Nigerian shirt that you brought back for your graduation, Nneka, and she never did it.
Well, there's a picture of Tara wearing the Nigerian garb that I brought back, I think, when it was my freshman year or my sophomore year.
Really?
Yeah, there's a picture
floating
out there somewhere.
Well,
all four of the coaches, actually.
You got to put that up on a Throwback Thursday or something. We got to be able to see that.
Oh, yeah, they definitely showed up. They showed up to practice wearing it.
Well, that's good. See, that's respect. Just to bring this back full circle to let you guys go, because I appreciate your time and I know how busy your schedules are. Again, just tell people one more time what the idea, how a team and an individual can get involved in donating and helping to join your challenge.
Yeah, I think overall the major calling is, I think we're just reaching out to people who want to help give back or want to reach out to us and hear what we have to say about our story. So it's like whatever your motivation is to give or to be involved, it doesn't matter. It's all about uniting our, you know, our generation, our youth, AAU-wise especially, youth helping youth in a big international cool way. And it's simple as just going to our CrowdRise page. So it's www.crowdrise.com/Nneka and Chinee, and you can go there, and it's actually a really cool website, and you can, you know, read a little bit about us and about where the money will be going to. You can either donate in a general donation, which means you don't have to even join the team. It's just like if a fan wants to donate, or if you like would like to join as a team, you just register your team, and then it starts counting your donors. So it's pretty simple and straightforward. And then, you know, obviously we track everything that happens. So if you reach a certain amount of donors, you get a certain prize and stuff like that. So it's really simple, and we just hope that people, like, I think that right now it's an important time that we can come out of ourselves and just, you know, hopefully help a cause that will go exponentially. Like, the money will go exponentially further. But this is just who we are, Nneka and I and our family. And no matter the result, I think it's a win when we're able to get, you know, interactivity overall from our fans, from our friends, from people that care. That's just what Nneka and I are all about.
Absolutely. And I think that another important thing is that we try to educate people about, you know, Nigeria, our culture. And, you know, there's so many different dimensions to us that make us who we are. We're not just athletes, you know. We embody this type of person that is connected to their heritage, connected to basketball, and we try to connect to different levels of the game. So I think being able to reach out to AAU teams and even our players, people in the league said that they're going to donate, and to kind of bring it as a collective effort for everyone to educate themselves about, you know, what we're all about and what maybe you're not, you know, maybe you're not very aware of what's going on in Nigeria or elsewhere. And it's kind of like a global effort that we're trying to attain, and this is just the start of it, because Chinee and I hope to be even more involved in the future, and we're really appreciative of everybody's contributions, and we look forward to seeing how much money we can raise.
Just a couple quick things to add on to that, too, is people, first of all, don't forget, Nneka has two N's in it. When you go to the website, you know, it's Nneka and Chinee spelled out, the word and spelled out. Second thing is, it's very, very easy to use. They take any amount of money you can afford. They'll be more than happy and grateful to have. I went on and contributed this morning. I hope that you guys that are listening will be able to help them, too. It's obviously a great, great cause. A lot of people that are just not getting the education in the world that they need to get. And, you know, the fact that these young ladies are doing such a great job educating people on their own, and just meaning Nneka and Chinee educating all of us about what's going on, that's something that we all need to appreciate as well. And personally, I thank both of you for coming on and discussing this with us and taking time out of your busy days.
Thank you.
Absolutely,
a
pleasure.
Good luck, and let's hope that we come back and talk about how much money this was raised by the end of the season.
All right.
I'm good.